Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm so delighted that you are able to join me today. We're going to be talking about mind power, but in a different perspective. So many of us have had various experiences, whether it's through a dream or some other happening. And we hear someone say, oh, that's a past life happening. And you go, past life? What is that? Well, if you're like me, you had experiences at some point in your life that made you realize that life has a lot of levels to it. And there's many different modalities of experience that we can go through. And my guest today, Georgina Cannon, is a woman that has put together some material called Return Again, How to Find Meaning in Your Past Lives and Your Interlife. Georgina Cannon, you are in Toronto, Canada. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes.
Georgina, you're a woman who has, for all intents and purposes, you have very much dedicated your life to assisting people to get past many things that they can't figure out why they have a challenge with.
Right.
And you have become very much involved in hypnotherapy. You're board certified. Mm-hmm. And you're the founder of the Toronto-based Ontario Hypnosis Center. Mm-hmm. You are considered the leader in hypnosis training. And you've worked with Shirley MacLaine. You have done films on past life regression. Mm-hmm. Share with my audience the interesting story about how migraine headaches with you triggered this journey into these experiences that changed your life.
Right, right, indeed. First of all, thank you for inviting me to be on your show. I really appreciate it. It's a lovely show, and I'm glad to be part of it. About 20 years ago, I had tried everything to release my migraines. And I'd been in the corporate world for a while. I'd been a journalist before that. And all the time, I'd been battling migraines. And although there was medication, not exactly the same medication as there is now, nothing seemed to work properly. And when I left the corporate world and got involved with hypnosis, I wanted to find, I loved hypnosis because it allowed us to access the true part of ourselves, the subconscious mind. And I went to a training with a gentleman, Henry Bolduc, who was brilliant. And while I was being trained, I asked my partner at that time to take me back and see if we could find out the cause of the migraines. You know, maybe it was 2 years old, something happened to me, I banged my head. Anyway, he took me back, and I immediately, it was the strangest sensation, I could smell something quite putrid. And I realized that that putrid smell was me, which isn't a very
That's
nice
exciting.
Thing to realize.
I mean, gee, Liz, yes.
Yeah, I know. Oh, goodness, you stink. And I realized that I was in a different time and a different place. I was an old, well, I don't know how old, but I was a ragged and bedraggled woman with virtually no teeth. I lived in a cave outside of a village, and my role in that life was to help the women of that village give birth or have abortions or help them with fertility using herbs. And although they needed me, they didn't like me. They thought I was some evil sort of woman who was a necessary evil. And so I was virtually on the edge of starving all the time because I couldn't get any food except what I could gather. And occasionally they gave me food because they wanted to keep me alive. One day I was called into the village to help a woman give birth. And she gave birth, but as she gave birth, she bled out and she died and her child died. So the two of them died at one time. And so I buried them and did the ritual that I did at that time, and the villagers were wailing. And I went back to my cave knowing that I wouldn't get any food for that one and fell asleep out of exhaustion. And next thing I knew, I had this voice yelling at me, standing over me, spittle spraying my face. And this man was so angry. He was drunk, and he was so angry. He was beating me, and he had this big rock in his hand, and he smashed it on my head, right over my left eye, which is where I used to get my migraines. And I died because he smashed my head in, literally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we did all the healing and the around that. And as we did that, it released the migraines. And I've never, ever had a migraine since.
This story in your book, which I think is really fascinating, I recall a client a number of years ago, and I was not very well educated on regression, but there was a client that had come to me, and she asked me about past lives, and mm-hmm. there was an image that came in, and I saw her being hanged.
Mm-hmm.
And she just, her eyes got really, really big. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason she asked me the question was because she was a flight attendant.
Right.
And often, the young women, and I was living in California at that time, so she was in flight uniforms where often they were asked to wear scarves. And any time she put something around her neck, it just traumatized her no end. And she couldn't understand it. There was nothing she could relate to. And when I said that to her, that just was, you know, it's just tapping into a resource of information.
Yes.
She goes, oh, my goodness. Well, she called me a couple of weeks after that, and she said, you know what? It totally made sense. Totally made sense. Because whenever she'd put a scarf on, when she would go to do a knot,
mm-hmm.
that's when she would just have to take it off. She said, I just can't stand this.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a past life memory.
Yes.
It was coming back over and over again, and she was feeling threatened by it. But after
yes.
our conversation, and that was the beginning of my curiosity about this thing, oh, my goodness. And, of course, I've had a number of experiences of my own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so many people will get so involved in doing, gee whiz, I want to know what my past lives are. And I have just laughed like a fool so many times when people want to have something really glamorous, and I'll tell you, most of the stuff I've seen is pretty crappy and pretty ugly. And I'm sure you have, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there can't be beautiful experiences, but
right.
a lot of life experiences are very, very harsh, just like
as they are in this life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got billions of souls that are living in this moment today, and you look at any point on the planet, and some of the stuff you see is horrific. Someone's living through that. And when you got into this, after your experience, where did your curiosity take you?
It took me to learning how to do it and facilitate it ethically with others. And it also took me to a place where I would be talking to the medical profession about it. And a call from our CBC, which is our public broadcasting company in Canada, asking if they could do a series on it out of my clinic, and writing the code of ethics so that they could have the code of ethics. And so we're now, you know, talking thousands of people that I've managed to facilitate and hundreds of students that I've trained. So spreading the light, really, spreading the word that not only the past life, but the interlife, the space between the two lifetimes, is also valuable and profound and life-changing. And in the book, it talks about that, but it also talks about what to do with that information once you have it, which I think is what makes this book different.
Well, I think that when we can come from a positioning of being what I describe and what you would describe as analytical, down-to-earth with this, being able to research this enables people to understand that we are energies, I'll use that term, that have a capacity of multiple levels of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times there can be associations with people they will say, logically, why in the world do we have an empathy with them? Or why is it we have such a distaste for something?
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing logical. You know, we're not talking about people that have severe mental disorders necessarily, but all of this does have an effect. And it is a very curious thing that historically, millennia, as long as people have been on this planet, they have had an awareness of this. You go into any culture, there is this understanding of memories. But when Christianity came in, and there were certain edicts that came down, this is, you know, hundreds of years ago, but those edicts came forward, and yet it was still in the underground, still there.
Well, it's scary. It's scary. If you don't understand that it's not something that is done to you, either when it happens, but it's something that you allow. If you understand that you are in complete control and you can leave any time you wish, then it's not so scary anymore. And I explained to my clients that it's only a tool. It's not woo-woo, it's not weird, it's not strange. And even if it's not real, even if it's just a metaphor that your mind is giving you so that you receive the information some way or another, so what? I mean, the real goal of these journeys is to receive information, guidance, wisdom, knowledge, to make this life excellent.
I think that is a very good statement, because we need to be present with where we are right now.
Absolutely.
And in my experience, I have found people that wanted to get so engrossed in this that they detached from where they were at the moment of their own life. And I would say to them, that, like you just said, this is a tool. This is a point of information. It is meant to empower you so that you can move forward.
Right.
And I think of one woman who had a relationship in her life and was totally perplexed at the behavior of her significant other.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I just don't understand this. Where does this arrogance come from? What in the world is this person? I just don't get it. Well, the information was given to her that this person had been in a positioning of power and great wealth in the past.
Right.
With a very, very elitist environment. And this person had total disregard, especially for women. Total disregard for women. And this arrogance still was here, and that was part of what this person had to learn. So when we went through this explanation, the individual said, I got it. Then the person knew how to deal with this significant other in their life.
Right.
They could look at this person and understand things very, very clearly. And in that case, she had been this person's sister. So when you look at this and you can take that information and you can apply it, doesn't mean you can change someone else, but it gives you an insight into something that maybe they have carried forward that they have to learn how to deal with.
Well, I think what happens is that you don't let it attach to you. It doesn't Velcro onto you anymore. Once you understand something and appreciate from whence it comes, you don't feel the need to react emotionally. You look at it and say, okay, you know, it's like Toronto in the winter, it's cold. It just is. It just is. That's who that person is. And they have other, as a partner, they have other attributes that I admire and I like and I want to stay with. But that piece is just is.
It's
nothing to do with us.
That's right. And I think information, if it's utilized, information just being information isn't worth 50 cents.
Right.
But if you utilize the information, then you're going to be empowered. And as you say, I really like your description. If you disengage from ownership of this, you just say, okay, these are the facts. This is what is there. How do I work with this? And it's okay for me not to be sucked into whatever it is that they're having to learn.
Right.
That's so important. Now, you bring out two words that I have to say I had not heard used. In the spiritualist environment, you talk about many times about the tribe of guides, and there's different words. You use the term soul circle. What does that mean to you?
Ah, yes, the soul circle. I believe that we travel in pods. You know, there's groups of us that go from lifetime to lifetime. Not everyone is in the same life, but we are, one or two of them are probably in most lives, and we switch roles and play all roles. The soul circle is the level of the souls that you travel with at that time. and you learn from each other and connect with each other and support each other at a soul level. So when you go into the interlife, and this is probably where your soul mates reside too, the people that help the soul grow. So what you're doing when you go home to the interlife, the soul circle usually welcomes you, and it's a real feeling of being welcomed by the kindest, most loving, most respected and respectful family that one can imagine. And you really feel like you're going home, because these are the souls that know you for your magnificence, who you truly are. And they're there always. It is it's not your guides, they're equals. And they're mm-hmm. all separate beings learning also. So from time to time you will leave the soul circle and join another one as you evolve and grow or change. So that's really what the soul circle is.
Your comment
it's your personal
about pod. Yes, and I think that's very important. Richard Bach said in his book, Illusions, there are those that are your family that are
yes.
not really your blood. That,
right.
And that I have found in my life. I found
no question.
Out when I was 19 years old.
No question.
And it just amazed me. It was really something. And so when I got involved in the intuitive area, I said, my goodness, this is like home. This is, as you would describe, a soul circle. And there are those experiences. I know that so many people in my audience have had this happen to them. They meet somebody and there's an instant rapport. They don't know why. It's just there. They can trust that person.
Right.
It's just, and it's not a fabrication. They
right.
just know. They absolutely know. And
yes.
I think it's a phenomenal thing when you become awakened to the reality. Number one, you're never really alone. Number two, there are these connections that are very supportive of you, and they may play a tiny role. Maybe it's just one moment of interaction, mm-hmm. or it could be for most of your life.
Yes, indeed.
It's a fascinating, fascinating perspective. But I liked your perspective on soulmates, because I always have to chuckle. People have bought into an idea that a soulmate is one exclusive person.
I know, it's so
and
funny.
And I just laugh. I said, my
it
goodness,
is so funny.
You know, there's over 7 billion people on this planet. Trust me, you've got a number of them.
Yeah, and even a bad partner, you know, you have a husband or a wife that is really, really bad for you, and you divorce them, and it's a rancorous divorce. This is also a soulmate. This is someone who is teaching your soul a lesson or how to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so not all soulmates are pleasant.
That is the truth. I can testify to that, just because of the interaction in my own life and other people, and we all can.
Right.
I mean, there are people that we come across that are real, you know, really lousy individuals. And
yeah.
we look and go, why in the name of heaven? What did I do to attract this? Well,
yes.
maybe there is a lesson to learn. But maybe it is also a wake-up call, too. You have to have integrity with yourself and say, okay, am I in a position because I'm operating out of fear, poor self-esteem? What is it? But we have to understand that that's part of growth. Life is not a straight line. I say this so many times on my show. It is never, ever going to be, at least in this life experience, something where you're just gaga, tiptoeing through the tulips. It's just not going to happen there.
No, because we're learning, and any learning
yes.
trajectory is a gentle upward slope and then a drop, and another gentle upward slope and a drop, whether mm-hmm. you're learning a language or you're learning to live life. That's
Absolutely.
The learning trajectory, yes.
Well, I think a good image is if you climb the top of Mount Everest, you can't stay there. You're always going to have to come down.
Right.
You can stay there. You'll be dead. You won't be. Your body can't do
It'll
much
be very
anything.
Cold.
Yeah, who needs that? Anyway, you go up there, there's not much oxygen to breathe, and then you got to come down. So it's you climb mountains in life, you come down into the valleys, you might have a little of a resting period, if you'd say that, but still, life has to be lived. You cannot ignore it. It is
right.
there. And I think that that's one of the things about understanding past lives,
mm-hmm.
is that you don't get caught in the saga. You look at it, try to find out what it is that's benefited you, what was the negative
mm-hmm.
here,
mm-hmm.
and you move on.
Yes.
And
yes.
this is so important. Now, one of the gifts in your book is actually doing past life regression. And a friend of mine, she had gone through some kind of training many years ago, and with her entire family, because of the unique personality dispositionings of her children, etc., she wanted to figure out what the connection was. And mm-hmm. she automatically knew that this was something very real for her. And so she did past life regressions, and she found out the associations with her children and some other things. And she did this when she was, you know, in her 30s or 40s. And I'll never forget when I was chatting with her, and she was in her 50s, early 60s, and she was telling me this. She said it just made sense, and it made me able to deal with their personality differences
sure.
much more effectively.
Sure.
And you've got a technique that you have here in the book.
Yes, the absorption technique. Yes.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about this and how you developed it.
I realized early on when I was doing the work that it's all very well to find out some information, but what happens a lot when people change, whether they're losing weight or quit smoking or suddenly get a new perspective on life, they suddenly become born again, in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And they start talking to their family and friends as if they're the only ones that have the information and you really don't know what life is about. So suddenly they become not wanted on the voyage. You know, people are avoiding them or
uh-huh.
they just are not pleasant to be around. So what I realized that what we need to do is to use that information to create evolution, not revolution. So let's find a gentle way of absorbing that information into your life and making it part of the new you, and demonstrating by action what happens when you learn this information, not by telling people. It
mm-hmm.
makes you much more likable, lovable, and you get to keep your job as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I developed this whole process of what I call the absorption process, of really deciding what you want to take with you and what you want to leave behind, both the people, the things, the patterns that you have, and really understanding what's important to you. Now, people say, that's fine, but I can't leave my family behind. No, you can't, but you can find a way of dealing with the rancorous people in your family that don't, in a way that doesn't affect you so badly. Maybe you go to a movie instead of having dinner, or maybe you spend less time actually interacting with them so it doesn't cause you pain. And you don't cause them pain. So it's a new way of looking at things. So you look and see the top things you want to change in your life, because just thinking about it isn't enough. You've got to actually have some action. And then you've got to decide the three things you're going to do every day that's different around your family, around your work, around your personal life, and what actually you're going to do, what by when, the goals, what by when, and when you're going to achieve this. And then how you're going to sell in this new part of you. What difference are you going to make in life? Are you going to get out more? Are you going to connect with new people? How are you going to manifest what you've learned? Not by talking, but by doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a huge difference. Because suddenly you don't become the know-it-all, you become the do-it-all, which is beneficial to humankind, which is much better.
I agree with that. And I think so many times we can literally talk ourselves into oblivion.
Yes.
We can be so busy talking
yes.
and not doing that we wonder why we are not successful and why we haven't achieved a change. And I think that that is something that many times people get into certain aspects of mind. And they think, and thought is powerful. Intention
mm-hmm.
is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're sitting and eating a 5-pound chocolate cake every week,
right?
And you say, I weigh 500 pounds and I just don't get it.
And next week I'm going to go on a diet.
Yes. So somewhere along the line there needs to be a change. And there
yes.
needs to be a new direction.
Yes.
And this is something that I think that past life regression, and you have a regression script that you
mm-hmm.
have in your book.
Yes.
How would you recommend that people use this regression script?
Well, you can either record it yourself, or you can have a trusted friend read it to you and take you through it. which I think is a better idea in a way, just in case you get stuck. And also, when you're doing it, when you're listening to your own voice, you're inclined to be critical. Oh, my voice is too fast, I'm doing it too slow, whatever. And that's not the point. So it's in there to use and to enjoy and to understand that it's just the beginning. Make yourself comfortable. Make sure that the dogs and cats and children aren't around. Take the phone off the hook. Really allow yourself to relax into it and have a trusted friend read it to you. And ask them not to comment, not to go, oh, that's cool, or that's, oh, really? Just read it. Just read it and stay with you along the way and be there when you come out of the journey. Because it's good to have a familiar face when you come out of a journey.
I think so, and I think documenting it is very important. Now,
yes.
With someone doing this in a form of hypnosis, I know that I had an experience many years ago where someone who was a hypnotist, and he was an amateur, he hadn't done this very much, but I was perfectly aware and conscious, and then all of a sudden my mind tripped into an experience, and it was not something that was particularly pleasant. It was as if I was entering into an area of deep understanding, and I was not going to
enjoy this.
To enjoy the journey, but more than that, it was not appropriate to have him there.
Right.
So when I looked at this, and I can remember this was a long time ago, and I then heard this gentleman's story about how, through experiments, he had profound experiences with people that had a past life experience, and it just blew his mind. It was totally out of the ordinary. And he did a regression process, and he said what occurred was it totally transformed his thinking, but he was not aware of how to respond to what this person was experiencing. And so sometimes this can be a negative. So what would you say to someone if they get your book Return Again and they have a friend, and that friend is going to be going through this process with them? What are some of what I'd call, and maybe this is being a little melodramatic, safety measures?
Sure. No, that's fine. There is a safety measure actually at the front of the script that tells you to remember that you're always safe and that you are here. Even though you're there, you're always here. As a someone who is doing this, you remember to stay with the person. It's not up to you to counsel or to say anything or to go, oh my goodness, that's terrible. Stay with the script. The person that you're reading to is in the process, and whether they're being hanged or giving birth or being raped or being burned at the stake, if they're going through something like that, and as I mentioned in the book, get them to lift themselves up above the scene so they don't feel any pain or terror. Lift them up above and watch it from a distance as if it's a movie, because you must close off that life. You can't leave it halfway, otherwise you bring in the pain with you into this life. So every life has to be complete with the healing and the forgiveness and everything. But you can remove the person from the issue. You can stand back and look at it from a distance and watch it unfold to the end. That's the way to do it.
Now, I know you're... Excuse me, go ahead.
Also, to remember and to remind the person before they go into hypnosis that they are in total control. At any time, they can bring themselves out of it. I've had people say in the middle of a journey, I have to go to the washroom. And I say, fine, I'm going to count to three, and at the count of three, you'll open your eyes, go to the washroom, wash your hands, come back, and go back into where you are. Nod your head if you agree. They nod their head, they agree. We go one, two, three, and off they go, and they come back, and they go right back into where they were, because we're always in control.
That, I think, is extremely important.
Yes.
Georgina Cannon has been my guest today. Her book, Return Again, is an intriguing read. And if this is something that you have always wanted to explore, something that has always been of interest to you, this is, I think, a very good instructional toolbox of information to utilize. Return Again is the title of his book, and you can do your own past life regression. She has a number of points in here that could be very useful to you, and it may help you understand you or even someone around you. There's just so many things that this can bring out, so many subtle perspectives. Georgina Cannon, I know you have a website, which is your name, Georgina Cannon. It's GeorginaCannon.com, GeorginaCannon.com. And Georgina, it's been a delight having you as a guest today.
Thank you. Enjoy
Toronto, which I know you do, and may your success continue.
Bless your heart. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. When we come back, I've got some other fun things to share with you. Don't go away.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call in if you'd like to chat with me today is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, I've got a bunch of interesting information to share with you. Oh, yes, I am going to finish giving you the wonderful, wonderful recipe for making cookie pops. And I know it's fun. This is just something that's great for parties, et cetera. But before I do that, I wanted to share a story with you because of the guests that we've had today about a very, very famous author. Her name was Taylor Caldwell. You may or may not be aware of her. And this is a woman that I just loved her writing. She was a historical novelist. And one of her books that, my goodness, I just had a passion for and still do even today. It's called Dear and Glorious Physician. Was about Luke, the Greek physician, who is one that recorded a lot of information about Jesus and Mary, etc. Well, Taylor, as a woman, she was an exquisite writer. But this woman had a lot of issues. She had a lot of health issues. And she suffered with these for a number of years. Well, there was a gentleman that she got to know, and at the moment I can't recall his name, and he was a hypnotist. And this is many years ago, long before it became comfortable to even talk about past life rejection. He was very much into this. He had had quite a bit of experience with it, and as an expert with hypnosis, he volunteered to put her under. Well, she said, you're not going to be able to hypnotize me. It's just not going to work. Other people have tried. It's just not going to work. And he said, well, let's just see what happens. She was a very strong-willed woman, a very brilliant woman, and a superb writer. But she had had a lot of suffering in her life. There had been a number of things that had gone on. So when he put her under, he found that she had so many experiences that were coming out of her that actually had given her the basis for much of her writing and the life she was living. And it was just absolutely amazing. And in the regressions, and she came back with a memory. She just didn't go under and not remember anything, but she brought the memory back. Now, this is a woman that was very logical, very left brain, you might say, but she was highly intuitive, highly intuitive. She didn't like to acknowledge it because it didn't fit in with mainstream, and she thought a lot of it was woo-woo. But when she went through these past life experiences, and there was a book that was written about this, she found that it gave her answers to a lot of the physical problems that she had experienced, and many of her physical problems disappeared after this information came to her. And in one of her experiences, she had been in an environment of a very famous writer. Now, she had been in service, like being a maid, but she had observed so many things in that life experience. And then in the 20th century, when she was living, she was able to demonstrate a lot of these skills in her life. And I can remember reading this story about this very, very famous woman, and it had answered a lot of her questions. But she was at odds with this because it didn't fit in with the paradigm of her time. Yet, at the same time, she had to acknowledge it had made a tremendous difference. And when he'd put her under as an observer, he was absolutely amazed at what she was relating. And then she acknowledged that often when she wrote, and she wrote just with such phenomenal detail, she said she had a muse at her shoulder. She could literally smell, taste, and feel everything her characters were going through. And as a writer, she had pulled up and out of her deeper, I'll call it the soul self, that's me saying that, and she pulled up these memories without realizing that she had. Now, she did a lot of research. She traveled all over the world to get her research. She went into places that most people didn't even have access to. And she just found out so much information, and she incorporated which into her stories, which historical novelists do, to go along with whatever characters they come together with. But she said many times her materials would literally write themselves. And with Taylor Caldwell, she wrote about Atlantis long before a lot of people that have written stuff today have written, and that is something, one of the soul experiences that she had in the regression, was that she had actually lived in what is called Atlantis, lived in that environment, and she just did a phenomenal job with it. So if you're ever interested in finding out about a woman, Taylor Caldwell is someone that is quite a fascinating woman. And her life, I think, especially when I read about her experiences, it really was an eye-opener for me. And I have to chuckle because, in a way, she denied it, but she said she couldn't explain it. And it changed her life and her thinking, and actually her wellness in a quite a surprising way. Donna Sebo here. Telephone number to call in if you'd like to chat with me is 888-627-6008. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking about a sound mind in a sound body. Dennis Kravitz has put together, I think, a very down-to-earth book about the various aspects, mind, body, spirit, and emotion, that we have to understand so that we can enjoy wellness. You want to live to be 115? How about 120? Believe it or not, there are people that have lived that long. We're going to find out some of the keys to that. And then we're going to be talking with Bill Shiley, the Unstoppables, on Wednesday. And the reason we're going to be talking with him is because we're going to find out how you can be one of those people that is unstoppable. And then the high attitude woman, Jen Reynolds, is my guest, and we're going to be talking about women that have just accomplished phenomenal things. And then on Friday, it's going to be an open mic. That's right. We're going to have an open mic hour, so you can call in at any time during the hour. Now, that's what we've got going this week, so I do hope that you will remember to to check in and be a part of this show because it really does make a difference. I wanted to cover a little bit of information for you today about gestures. Now, this may sound a little strange, but every cultural environment has its protocol. In the Middle East, you don't want to cross your legs, male or female, and show the sole of your foot. Why did that happen? Who knows? I haven't a clue right at the moment. But there's many different things in many different cultures that if you're not aware of, you can really offend someone. And I just thought I would share this detail with you. Vicki Oliver has put out a wonderful book on smart answers to tough business etiquette questions. And this is something that I think socially, because we live in a multicultural environment, when we find ourselves being introduced to certain environments, instead of being, you know, all rigid, if we can take some time to understand those cultures, it really makes a difference. America really is a melting pot. It has been for generations. And it's a joy, I think, because it creates such a diversity, which I think is healthy. But more than that, it makes us aware of different ways of thinking, and I don't ever see that as a bad thing. It's something that the more we can expand our thinking and our understanding of others, the more we grow as people. And if we don't like certain patternings, well, we can be a part of that essence called change that maybe will shift the patternings of people. Goodness, we human beings do that all the time. Now, here is some information that Vicki shared that I really, really thought was valuable. We have had a number of leaders in the United States that did not get any training relative to how to interact in different environments and cultures. Well, it cost them big time. So a little bit of curiosity, a little bit of homework, you'll find that it can really go a long way to making you fit into different environments with understanding. Now, what about the thumbs up sign? Here in the United States, give a thumbs up, that's a positive. That's just a real positive for us. However, in Australia, if you do a thumbs up, that's a sign of disrespect. In Nigeria, it's a sign of derision, and it's considered hideously offensive in the Middle Eastern culture. However, if you go to France, it means okay. Here again, in America and in the UK, it means approval. So there you've got a diversity of just something so simple as a thumbs up. And then, what about okay? A thumb and a forefinger forming a circle. If you're visiting Norway, you don't do it. It's an insult in Norway. In Guatemala and Russia, it's considered a sign of obscenity. Yes. In Brazil, it's just as lewd as the hand gesture involving a middle finger. In Spain, they consider you stupid if you do it. The word gauche is associated with it. But go to France. It means zero. That's what it means. Yeah. Here in America, it means okay. Can you imagine how much confusion that creates? Amazing. And you know what? I was told once by someone, and this is when I was in Russia, that Americans have this wonderful way. You recognize Americans because usually they smile a lot. Now think of that. In America, the smile is something that's celebrated. However, you never smile when you're being introduced when you're in Japan. Your face is to be stoic. And in Greece, smiling sometimes indicates that the person is angry. And Vicki said the reason is that the Greeks smile both when they're happy and when they're angry. So go figure. But always remember, in the Asian culture, in Japan especially, a straight face is an important one. So if sometimes you find yourself in a cultural environment and you wonder what to do, check up on the etiquette before you go visit it. This is Donna Sebo. We're coming back, and I'm going to have some of those cookie pops for you. Yes, they're really easy to make. Oh, they're just as nice as they can be. It's a hit with kids. It's a hit with adults, and it's perfect for summertime. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top-of-the-line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone line that is open is 888-627-6008. Okay. Do you have a sweet tooth? I do. And there are times that you want just a little bit of something that's going to satisfy you. And maybe you're having a gathering at your house, or you want to do something that's fun and whimsical, especially for the kids. Well, this gal, Ruth Ann, and she has a website, easybaked.net. I just loved her idea. And I have had a friend that has made cookie desserts up, and she had gotten, like chocolate cookies. You can buy just the straight chocolate cookies at the store. And she put ice cream in the middle of them, and then she wrapped them, and she put them in a bite-size style of cookie. And so that's great if you're having a big get-together. And she brought them to one of my gatherings that I had at the house, and it was perfect because we brought it out for dessert. The weather was hot. Everybody just liked them because they were small, bite-sized, pop them in your mouth. Absolutely wonderful. You can use whatever ice cream you want. So that's easy enough to do. But I liked what Ruth Ann did because she did something, and she called them the no-bake Oreo Pops. Now, you really can do this with any cookie. But as we all know, Oreos are considered the leading cookie, period. And that's because they are just wonderful, delicious, dark chocolate with this, wonderful filling inside. And the adage of you just can't eat one, and kids just love them, but so do adults. And you can make them yourself, and this is how you do it. What you want to do, and you're going to need some lollipop sticks, so you can get those at just about, any kind of a bakery supply facility. But you're going to need a baking sheet, and you're going to need some parchment paper. Now, start off with 24 Oreo cookies, or you can use any cookie of choice that has a filling mixture to it. This is something that you can do. It's really, really easy. Your lollipop stick, what you want to do is take your stick and use it as a crowbar, if you will, to separate the cookie from the filling. And then you're going to take the lollipop stick and you're going to put it in the filling and put the top back on. Now, what you want to do is, once you do that, you have your 24 cookies, and you've separated them, put the lollipop stick inside, the frosting inside. You have it all on your parchment paper. You're going to need to take two packages, they're 12 ounces each, of white candy melt. And what you want to do is you want to melt them. And on the package, it'll give you instructions. You can microwave it, or you can do it in a double boiler, whatever you want to do. And you want to take a little bit of this and put it over the candy stick, and you want to put your stick again into the indentation. Now, I'd said you could put it in before this, but if you wanted to use a little bit of the candy on the inside, you can. You allow the candy to harden and cement the cookie back together with the stick inside. Now, holding a stick, you take each Oreo and dip it into the melted candy, and you take a spoon and you cover the entire cookie, and then you let the excess candy mixture drip off, place it on the parchment, and you can top it with any kind of sprinkles that you want. And I would say you could even do this with chocolate chip. You know, you could make it your semi-sweet, or you could make it the dark, dark chocolate, where it is more of a bitter flavor. You can do this, and you're going to find that you'll have 24 pops. So this is something that really keeps well. And if you wanted to keep it in the refrigerator, you know, if you made up a big batch of this, it's really going to be a delight. If you can bring it out, maybe get some styrofoam that you set up the lollipops in where they're anchored and decorate that and just come out. People are just going to love it. Kids like it because they can still be on the move and they can have their cookie lollipop. But I just think you could do this with different cookies, different flavors. Use your imagination. You could have so much fun with it. The key is that you melt that chocolate chip or candy, white candy, chocolate, whatever you want to do, and they look just wonderful. They'll really be a smash at a party. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and after that, hey, you're going to be able to sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you can always ask me a question about whatever you are concerned with. Oh, excuse me. I got something went down the wrong pipe. Anyway, I got some information from a person in Virginia. And they sent me this. They sent me all kinds of wonderful information, which, by the way, I'm delighted to receive from anybody, and I share as much of it as I can. But this one was interesting because it said, you're being tracked, here is how. And in our world of technology communication at this time, this is something we really have to recognize. We don't have privacy. We really don't. Now, the National Security Administration has relationships with credit card companies, and a warrant, they can get one, could provide information on when and where a car has been used. And the data is not supposed to, the retailers are not supposed to keep that data unless it's absolutely necessary. But it is something where you go into a grocery store, you know, those little codes that you get or the cards that you get for discounts on food and everything else. All of that is being tracked. That's being used for and has been for years. And with the computerization of buying systems, they're able to find out what people do what. I mean, they're doing it on Google. They're doing it all in so many ways. It's just unbelievable. And that enables people, if they're in advertising or if they're in any kinds of sales and marketing, to find out where their market might be and how to reach that market. Now, with travel, because of all the security stuff, data is daily taken from travelers. And frequent travelers' information is retained up for 2 years. Why? Because they want to know where you're going, where you've been, and sometimes they want to know what the purpose of your trip. Well, that has become even more, pervasive. So you don't go anywhere without somebody knowing about you. I mean, that's just the fact. That's just something that is becoming strong. Now, cell phones. 1.3 million requests in 2011 were made for subscriber information. But if a request is labeled emergency by an official, no legal documents are required. Why do they want this? It's used for surveillance. It's used for surveillance on everybody, not just foreign terrorists. And she's got some other information in here, too. Be aware. And I'll give you some information as to what was recommended that you do if you want to avoid being traced, tracked, or your privacy violated. It's been in the news. This is not a joke. This is really for real. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. This is a reality, and I think we need to pay attention to it. Oh, my goodness, we're out of time. Wow, time flies by. This is Donna Siebel. I'm so delighted that you joined me. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't let anybody ever tell you you're not. You're a grace. I'm so glad you shared time with me today. Enjoy this magnificent day of life that you have in front of you, and we'll be chatting again tomorrow. This is Donna. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.